Just because something isn't currently in your financial plan, it doesn't mean you can't put it there. Of course you can, right? Your life is dynamic, and so should your financial plan be. But having that mechanism to help you evaluate the purchase and the trade-offs is extremely, extremely valuable.
You're listening to the Pilot Money Podcast, the show dedicated to guiding professional pilots towards a future of financial success and stability. Fly along with your host, Timothy P. Pope, as he provides financial planning insights and answers to your burning questions and dives into real-life stories from fellow pilots who share their successes and cautionary tales. The Pilot Money Podcast takes off now.
Well, welcome back to the Pilot Money Podcast. We've got a solo episode today. Of course, my name is Timothy P. Pope, a certified financial planner specializing in the planning needs of the professional pilot. In today's episode, I'm going to talk to you about a recent experience that I had with impulse buying. I'm going to share with you what happened, how surprising the urges were to make these purchases, and what I did to overcome it. But before that, there were several of you that have asked about my flying and how it's been going. So number one, thanks for asking. And number two, I'm going to share an update with all of you. So as a GA pilot who does not fly to earn a living, for me, flying continues to have that level of magic and wonder to it. And so I don't fly nearly as much as I want. But the last two flights that I had were fairly special. Last month, my wife invited me to take a city tour at night of Charlotte. And so that was pretty fun. We were celebrating our anniversary, and it was very kind and thoughtful of her to invite me to do that. Flying GA is actually not her thing. So that was kind of her. So we did that. It was nice to see the city lights of Charlotte. As we got closer and entered the Bravo, of course, we could hear the approach and tower just moving, mostly American jets in and out of there at a swift speed, even at 9-10 o'clock at night. So that was fun. And then this past weekend, as a family, we washed the airplane. So we packed up a lunch. We had a picnic pretty much in the hangar. And then, you know, everybody grabbed a sponge and we were washing the airplane. So that was the first time I've done that with the family. And everybody was excited. All the kids were excited. My youngest was like washing the landing gear. Dad, how can I help? Dad, how can I help? And of course, we bought scooters and everything for them to play with when they were done, you know, washing the airplane. That was pretty cool. We met another aviation family. They had four kids as well, and they were washing a DA-40 and an Eclipse 500 or 5000 and a small jet. So it was cool to hang out and to see them and meet some new people and share aviation with the family. So that was pretty neat. After we washed, I went up for a short flight with three of the kids. It was my two-year-old's first flight. So we were in the pattern. I was turning crosswind. And he's like, oh, you know, he was nervous. And the plane is tipping, you know. And then my four-year-old is like, it's okay, you know. And both the girls, they know that we observe, you know, a sterile cockpit until we're cruising. So we're trying to be quiet and trying to comfort him at the same time. So I'm like, oh, buddy, do you want to go down? And it turned out that he wanted to get back down. So we landed, sent him off with mom. And then the girls and I went up. And my oldest daughter, she flew for a little bit. And then we turned around and came back before a storm. So that was fun. Definitely filled me up to spend that time with the family and sharing aviation with the kiddos. Now, let's talk about impulse buying here. So as humans, we have emotions. And sometimes those emotions, they work for us. And sometimes they work against us. And impulse buying, there's a number of categories of purchases that you could put in there. But today, I'm just speaking of broadly of making larger purchases that were unplanned or not necessarily, you know, factored into the budget at that time. And so I'm going to talk to you about, you know, my experience with some of these things here recently. So a couple weeks ago, I was going to a friend's house to help cut down some trees, and I wanted to buy some chains for my chainsaw. And so I was going to Ace Hardware to get those chains. And on the way there, I just felt, I'm like, you know what? I pretty much want to clean the shelves off of Ace. So for me, hardware stores like Ace Hardware or Tractor Supply, Northern Tool or Harbor Freight, like I love all those stores, right? Don't know how to use like half the things inside of it, but I'd be open to learning. And so I'm on my way to Ace, and I'm just feeling like, man, there's several pieces of lawn equipment that have been on my mind for a while. And I wanted to buy them all just right now. You know, I called my wife and I said, hey, just so you know, I really want to just clean off the shelves at Ace. And for some reason, just sharing it with somebody and saying it out loud, it helped me. It helped me not clean off the shelves at Ace Hardware. And so I went to Ace and I left with what I intended to purchase. And while I was there, I priced up my wish list, right? And so it was $3,000. And in my family, that's a number that we would discuss, you know, before spending it. So question for you, how do you handle purchases that are out of the ordinary in your family? Is there a discussion before the purchase? If you're single, do you weigh out the purchase before making it? How do you weigh it out? Do you put it on an Excel spreadsheet and, you know, figure out how to put it in the budget? Do you have a friend that you can talk to? Do you have a financial plan that you refer to? You know, how do you handle purchases in your life? And so afterwards, I said, wow, this was really interesting. I wonder why I felt like cleaning out the shelves at Ace. You know, why did I just want to like buy all of this lawn equipment? What was my trigger? And with impulse buying, there could be a number of triggers, right? Like I said, humans, we have emotions, right? Sometimes they work against us. Sometimes they help us move along. And so there could be a number of triggers. I'm just going to name a few that I've thought about. One is you could just be bored. Haven't had anything new or exciting happen in a while, so I'm going to go buy something. The second trigger could be, hey, I haven't bought anything new and, you know, I'd like to. A third could be perhaps you've been deferring the purchase. You know, maybe you've counted it all up and you thought, well, I should wait for one reason or another, right? It could be a timing issue. It could be money issue. Could be it just doesn't make sense because what you have is working fine. And maybe you've been deferring it, but then you just... you've had enough of deferral and you said, whatever, I'm going for it and let the chips fall where they may. Sometimes a trigger could be, hey, I feel like I've been sacrificing for the family and, you know, what I'm interested in now. I've experienced all of those at one time or another. And it's interesting, sometimes when I speak to families that have young children, sometimes, you know, one parent is more apt to, they said, well, you know, they kind of impulse buy by saying yes and making small exceptions everywhere or in a lot of places, and sometimes in service of the kids. And then the other parent says, well, you know, maybe I don't buy as much, but when I do, I make up for it in magnitude of purchase, right? So I can certainly identify with those things. Now, what I felt in this case, my trigger was deferral. A little while ago, someone stole some of my lawn equipment, and I still have lawn equipment that works fine. It gets the job done. But I just happen to be a brand loyal steel guy. And so I like to have my lawn equipment in that brand. And so in this case, it seemed like I just wanted to replace my lineup with the steel brand. Okay. I've got things that are working fine. And part of me is like, oh, Tim, that doesn't make any sense. Right. So that was the first incident with impulse buying. The second one was later the same day, because my son had come with me to help out with the tree work and move branches and things like that. And so after we're done, I said, hey, we are really close to this motorcycle store. You know, I want to show you. I want to show you the store. I want to show you the bikes inside. And so we walk inside the bike store and there they all are. And of course, my son can't ride a motorcycle. And so we go look at the dirt bikes. And he's sizing them. Some are too small and some are too big. And finally, he gets the Goldilocks, right? Like the finds the one that's just right. And he gets up there and I'm watching him. And he flashes me this huge smile. His eyes are bright. You know, he's full of excitement. And as a dad, you're looking at that and you're like, man, I'd love to get that for him. You know? And I look at the price tag and I say, you know, I could buy that. You know, the problem is, my wife and I have spoken and we said, you know, when he reaches a certain age, that's when we would entertain him perhaps getting a dirt bike. He's not that age yet. So, you know, I wanted to stick with the plan there. Then we walk over to the motorcycles. Now, I haven't owned a motorcycle or ridden a motorcycle in 7 years, right? So I had a Suzuki, a GSXR, a Gixxer 600. And I've always wanted a Gixxer 750. You know, when I was a kid, I'd have the magazine, the Suzuki magazine, flipping through it. And, you know, I was attracted to the 750, the blue and the white paint scheme with the orange accents. That really spoke to me. So I'm at the store and they're sold out of 750s, but they've got a brand new 2024 600 and it's white and it's shiny, has red accents. In fact, the rims on the tire is like a dark red, right? Not too bright, but really tasteful. I'm looking at that bike and I walk over, I swing my leg over, you know, the kickstand back and sit on it. It's like, wow, this is nice. This could be really nice. Maybe I want this bike. And it's like muscle memory, you know, just started to take over. The left hand goes up, squeezes the clutch, right thumb is over the ignition button. You know, since I'm inside, I pretended to press it. And you're just imagining how it sounds. Still has stock exhaust. You know, we'd probably want to fix that. Left foot comes up and slips it into first gear. You hear a click and you expect the bike to just jump a little bit, right? And then, you know, left hand is slowly easing that clutch out. Right wrist is twisting back that throttle. You expect that bike to just jump forward, you know, accompanied with a roar, right? And I'm just imagining myself on a straightaway, lean forward on the gas tank. And it's just like, yes, this is it. This is awesome. Now, here's the interesting thing. I had just finished telling a guy, you know, I think my riding days are over. There's too many crazy drivers in Charlotte, you know. I've got kids and, you know, all the rest. But here I am in this store on this bike feeling like, wow, I've found it. This is awesome. Now, a few weeks later, I was having a dad day with the boys. And I said, hey, let's go back to the store. And we'll show my younger son the bikes and the ATVs and so on and so forth. And guess what? The second time that I was in the store, the feeling of buying a bike and maybe I should buy a bike was even stronger. And I'm like, this is wild. This is crazy. And what I did with myself, because, you know, your mind starts to justify it, like, and try to figure out, like, okay, you know, how could this work and so on. And I look at the price tag and I'm like, yeah, I could buy that. And what helped for me is I thought back to my own financial plan. I said, okay, Tim, let's think through this. You don't have buying a motorcycle in your current financial plan, okay? And that's okay because you could put it there. We could decide to put a motorcycle in the financial plan, but what things would I have to shift around to make this work? And they were started immediately. There's goals that me and my wife have talked about and that we're tracking towards. And some of those goals, we'd have to just shift around in order to make this bike purchase work. And so then I asked myself, I said, okay, well, are you willing to shift these things around in order to buy this bike? And the answer was no. And I'm like, okay, well, there it is. I'm not buying the bike. And then the second decision was, it was really interesting and shocking to me that how I felt. Like I went from saying, you know, I think my riding days are over to, you know, maybe I really do want to buy another bike. All just because I went to the store and I sat on it. Muscle memory took over. The second decision that I made was, look, I don't think I'm going to be coming back to the store. I'm not going to make a habit of coming here until I'm closer to, you know, ready to buy a bike or buy an ATV or a dirt bike for the boys, right? Whatever it is. There's one thing I wanted to point out that you'll notice that as I was looking at the tags, I would say, well, I could buy that. And saying I could buy that is different from saying I can afford to buy that. Because to me, when I say I can afford to buy that, it means I can afford to buy that without interrupting my financial goals, right? And having something solid to come back to, solid to bounce the decisions off. In this case, it helped me from doing something dumb and having an awkward conversation with my wife. And so, you know, it helped out. Now, I also want to point out, just because something isn't currently in your financial plan, it doesn't mean you can't put it there. Of course you can, right? Your life is dynamic and so should your financial plan be. But having that mechanism to help you evaluate the purchase and the trade-offs is extremely, extremely valuable. You know, because sometimes what I find is when folks have strong cash flow and perhaps they're not in the habit of tracking expenses and perhaps they don't have a financial plan, they'll go along and they'll say, well, I can buy that. And they do buy it. And they'll point out, well, maybe, you know, I'm not paying any credit card interest on this purchase, so I can afford it. But sometimes they'll also acknowledge that, hey, I'm behind on my investing. I don't seem to have enough invested for my long-term goals, or I always seem to have to dip into the emergency fund, or perhaps, you know, I'm not feeling very organized financially and things are kind of all over the place, right? And the value of the financial plan is it can help keep you on that trajectory towards your short and your intermediate and your long-term goals. And so personally, what I found is when I avoid impulse buying, I also avoid that buyer's remorse feeling, that tingly feeling you get in the pit of your stomach when you're making a big decision and you're saying, well, you know, I'm not really sure if this is the right move to make right now. I don't know about you, but I hate that feeling. So I avoid doing things that will make me experience it. So for me, buyer's remorse, it detracts from the entire experience, right? You make this purchase, you've got this nice thing, look at this bike, it's awesome. And then you've got this pit in your stomach like, yeah, but I probably shouldn't have bought that right now. So making a purchase without buyer's remorse, in my opinion, is 100 times better. I'd love to hear from you. What has your experience been with overcoming impulse buying? Or what's an experience that you've had that you're willing to share? And what did you learn from it? Right? Maybe it tripped you up. Drop us a note, pilotmoneypodcast@soterrainvestors.com. And so for today's episode, that'll do it. And for those of you that missed some technical aspects of financial planning, saving, and investing, we've got those coming up. Thanks for joining another solo episode, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining this episode of the Pilot Money Podcast. If you found this information helpful, spread the word and share it with a pilot buddy. Or if you have questions and there's something that you would like to hear discussed on the show, send us an email at pilotmoneypodcast@soterrainvestors.com. That's CETERA investors.com. For those of you who are ready to learn how we help professional pilots with their financial planning needs, schedule an appointment. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, keep the shiny side up, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Timothy Pope is a certified financial planner offering securities and insurance products offered through Soterra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Soterra Investment Advisors, LLC. Tim's branch office is located at 5277 Center Drive, Suite 330, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217. Branch phone number 704-717-8900. The views depicted in this material are for information purposes only and are not necessarily those of Soterra Investment Advisors. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information on the subjects covered. It is not, however, intended to provide specific legal, tax, or other professional advice. For specific professional assistance, the services of an appropriate professional should be sought.